for the whole song. Just pretend that all along I've been there, infectious. That's what I dream of when pen is verse.
That is the funk sound of Christine and the Queens, a breakout artist from France who doesn't shy away from proclaiming her oddity. She sings, she dances, and puts on an electric theatrical show. This is the song Come See, which kicks off her latest album, Chris. Well, the French native is taking her G-funk electronic pop music to audiences across the globe. She'll be touring all summer, and she joins me now from her tour. Welcome to Here and Now, and I guess I should first ask you, what should I call you? Should I call you Christine, or should I call you your real name, Héloïse Letissier?
You can even call me Chris, because it's shorter for Christine. And it's my moniker. It kind of makes me feel good. So you can call me Chris if you want.
Why is that? Who is Chris?
Chris is me. It's just like putting a name on the weird process of being on the stage, because the stage is not especially the reality, but it's a way to express yourself that feels kind of like free of every label and every fear. So I guess Chris is just like the name I'm putting on my most audacious, daring version of myself.
Did you feel that you couldn't be that most audacious, daring version of yourself before?
Yes, I think when I decided to perform on a stage and sing, it shifted my whole life. I was a theater kid before. I studied stage design and I wanted to be a stage director. But I think the great shift was when I decided to be myself on the stage and own everything I could be on the stage. So I think, yes, I think before I was a bit shy and a bit self-conscious, and I was fearing a lot of things, and now it's getting better.
One of the songs that a lot of people that have heard your music would know is the song Tilted. It was actually named one of the best songs of 2015 by Time Magazine. I just saw you perform it at Coachella in California recently. And you described, before you performed it, you described its message of one of queer identity. Tell me more about what that song means to you and what you were trying to say with it.
I think the song Tilted is interesting because you can enter through it many ways. If you want to enter in like a playful way, you can. And if you want to take Tilted as something way deeper and way more aching, you can also. And I think Tilted it means out of balance, slightly out of the norm and like out of it, because you are made to feel out of it because of like really narrow ways of existing. And I think being queer for me is questioning the norm always. Actually, when you do pop music, there is so much theatricality that it can become really playful to question the norm. And it's actually important not to be digested by the same system that made you feel once an outcast. But I think being queer for me just helped me embrace the differences I could have and the awkwardness and what was made to feel like as flaws, you know. There is a way to embrace yourself way more, I think.
Well, and you describe yourself as pansexual, right?
Yep. I mean, it's just who I am. I don't have love stories depending on the gender of the person facing me. I kind of, I had different experiences with different ways of defining yourself. I even had like partners who didn't want to define themselves. It doesn't make any sense to me to just put a gender on someone. So I don't think like that.
You have to, or you have decided to record your songs, many of them, in both English and French. What is the challenge of that for you? How difficult is it to take a song that I assume was first written in French and then turn it into an English song with English lyrics?
Well, it's fun because it really depends on the record, actually. I remember like on my very first album called Chaleur Humaine, Human Warmth, some songs were written first in English, actually, and then I translated them in French. And on that second record, Chris, it's true that because I was working on like more up-tempo, funky energies, I was really interested in working the French before, because it was more a challenge to make French sound good on a G-funk track, for example. And then I went back to English. Qu'est-ce qu'une femme doit faire ici? Parfois y assez, parfois y assez. I think it's a good crash test for a song if I decide to translate it, because if I really know what I'm talking about and what I want to convey, it's actually not that hard, because I just find a different way to address it. I think the different languages just bring a different angle to the track, which is quite delicious actually to work on. And if I don't really know how to translate the track, then it's probably a sign that I don't really know what I'm talking about. I don't know if I will do it every time like that, because it's really like a two-headed record, this one. And also, like, it makes me work on like the musicality of language. So I can bring, for example, some English sounding atmosphere to French and vice versa, you see.
Well, you say in one track, I'm doing my face with magic marker.
I'm doing my face with magic marker.
What's the French version of that one?
Well, actually, that was a challenge, this one, because in French, it's slightly different. In French, it's like literally, it's like I'm doing my makeup with Neosporin. Because in French, we do have like this... this thing to make the wounds heal better, but it's kind of like it leaves a mark on the skin, like a reddish mark. So, and I was trying to find like a cool equivalent in English, and so I found that.
Now, you've talked about some of your musical influences being Kendrick Lamar, David Bowie, Kanye West, and I've noticed in almost every one of the articles that have been written about this, Michael Jackson. First of all, how do you feel about that now? Or do you still like Michael Jackson as much as before, given all that's been in the news about him recently?
Well, you know, this is the huge, huge conversation about, can we still love an artist if we know the man, or like, if we have access to like dangerous morals of one person, can we still love the artist? The answer is probably yes. This is why it's kind of breaking the hearts of everybody, because we can't deny the impact of Michael Jackson on today's pop culture. But I mean, especially with Me Too and everything that, you know, is pouring out now, we always have to decide if we still can admire an artist or not. And also, that's a really personal question. I don't really think there is one way to answer it. But I think Michael Jackson comes in comparison because I love to use also the dancing and the singing. And I think he was one of the most impressive performers for that. And as a dancer, I don't know many dancers who just don't like Michael Jackson for that. And I think it's why it's always been sometimes plastered on me, because I'm like singing and dancing, so people are like, Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. But it's true that I'm inspired also by, you named David Bowie, and like with every record came something different in terms of sound, of character, of thematics. But in the end, it makes a really cohesive work of art, and I think it's fantastic. I don't know many artists who could like explore like that and still be really always recognizable.
You know, you mentioned dancing. You're an incredible dancer. And I thought to myself as I was watching you both sing and dance at the same time, it must be, and I guess this is probably an issue for anybody who has to do what you're doing, but to be able to dance in that way and sing at the same time, it's got to be really difficult.
It is difficult. It's actually a constant work in progress, and you're always, like, in between the moments I tour, if I don't do, like, cardio and things like that, I immediately lose what I gained touring. I mean, it's something I always wanted to work on and achieve, and I hate the idea of doing playback. So even if sometimes I'm really out of breath, I keep on going. Mm-hmm. Because I kind of want people to see something real happening on stage. I always think of what I want to see as a music lover also, and I just want to see someone trying on stage very hard.
You know, you've been able to tour all over the United States. You're still on tour. What has stood out to you as you've sort of gotten to see parts of the U.S., not just the U.S., but the world as a touring musician?
Well, you know, I'm French, so I'm touring France, and then I toured the U.K., and then I toured the U.S., and then I went to Mexico. And every time there is a different way for my music to be perceived and received. And I think it's really actually kind of fascinating as performer, because, for example, my show is quite theatrical and sometimes bordering on contemporary dance. And I toured it in France, and people were really like still and silent, as if they were like watching a theater show, because they were not used to it. And then I toured the US, and they were really more engaged and loud and welcoming and warm. And then I toured the UK, and it was just like full on dancing. So it was interesting to actually explore.
Do you think that Americans now get your music more than French people?
I think the Americans get the second record a bit more in the way that it's an exploration of sensuality and empowerment. I think that the empowering dimension of the second record in France was a bit missed. And I grew up with like really hybrid tastes, like we talked about Kanye West, but I could listen to French songs also. So I think my hybridity makes me sometimes more understood elsewhere. But I think, yeah, I think in America, people got the exciting vibe of the second record, like a celebration of life and desire.
So when's the next album coming?
Well, I'm working on new tracks right now. I don't know if I'm going to release a classic album, but I might have something ready for next fall. Maybe a smaller format, maybe an EP, something like that.
That is Chris of Christine and the Queens. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the nice chat. Is it precisely why?